Good morning and welcome to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 94.3, Western Licking County. Dave Doney, Joel Riley, and our special guest today, Ohio Army National Guard Sergeant First Class Jeremiah Hogan. Snowy conditions this morning to start, high right around 20-23, and then it's going to drop throughout the day. Cold tonight with a low near 5, and then for Tuesday, sunny with a high near 19. As a quick reminder, Licking County Warming Center will be open today and maybe again tomorrow if they can get enough folks in to help with volunteering over at the Warming Center. So just keep that in mind if you know somebody who maybe needs to get out of this cold, to make sure you let them know that the Warming Center is open at Holy Trinity Lutheran Church, 592 West Main Street in Newark. Sergeant Hogan, before we get into all that's going on with the Ohio Army National Guard, you were telling us that you once at one point drove for ODOT, the big plows. As you were driving in this morning, did you wish you had that big plow again in front of you?
Yeah, it would have cleared the road a little bit easier for me.
Go ahead.
It wasn't a bad job, though. I mean, honestly, it was me and the truck.
Yeah. Who's worse? You guys driving them big trucks or the people driving beside you?
The four-wheelers. Because you got those guys that you're going and you're 25, 30 miles per hour, and you have those people that are just riding on your butt wanting to pass you. Hey, we're clearing the road for you. Why are you wanting to pass us and go get in the road that's covered up still?
Yeah, no doubt about it. You were talking about one time you lost the road and went into somebody's yard. I mean, it could be bad for you guys even, correct?
Oh, yeah. You get those whiteout conditions and you can't see. Yeah. I mean, even for us. I mean, we got those lights and everything like that and we can't see too.
Yeah.
So you got to understand that it's just the roads are slushy. Yeah, we're putting stuff down, but I mean, there's only so much you can do.
Well, and like today with the cold weather, you and I were talking earlier, you can put all the salt in the world down. It's not going to help these roads when it gets to be these temperatures, correct?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Tonight, if there's stuff on the road, it's not going to melt off.
So just remember that when you're out and about driving. If you see a plow, let it do its. Now, look, I'll be the first to tell you, I'm one of those who's like, hey, can I get around this guy? But the older I've gotten, the more I'm like, meh. I probably should, but don't even tailgate the thing because you got the salt coming off. You don't know when you're going to be stopping. I mean, that's a big machine you're out there running.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, it's a few thousand pounds and it doesn't stop on a dime. So. But give them room. I mean, they've had actually numerous trucks have got hit this year already. So just give them space.
Yeah, let them do their job. Like you said, you're only out there trying to clear the roadways. How bad were the roads this morning?
Whiteouts went out by 146. I had some whiteout conditions. They were out. It were covered up pretty good. Once it got into Newark, roads ain't too bad in Newark. Slush covered a little bit, so take your time, but side roads are still covered up.
Yeah, that's it can come on you quick too. Yes. I mean, one little turn of the wheel and you're like, wow, look at me, I'm going for a ride. Or you can end up in somebody's yard in a plow. Well, I'm just curious, what did folks, did you even go up to knock on the door and say, hey, sorry, did you say, I gotta get out of here? What?
It was like midnight. They'll see it in the morning.
Oh, that's hilarious. All right, Ohio National Guard, just real quick, the last few weeks I've gotten press releases. There have been some call-ups to active duty. What's that like for you? Do you get involved at all when that happens with members in this community?
We don't get too involved. Our biggest thing we'll have is parents or applicants asking us, hey, what's the probability? Mm-hmm. We do have some units that have been getting activated. Stuff like that. However, majority of the time, those are planned. Those are planned out, so it's not usually like last minute and everything. But that is a topic of discussion with a lot of different parents and applicants that are interested. Hey, what's the probability of deploying or getting activated?
Since you've been in, what would you say is the probability? I mean, is it just you can't quantify it?
I can't predict the future. I've been in the Guard for 10 years now, and I've never deployed. And I know people that have deployed, and they've been in the Guard for 6-7 years. It just depends. There's certain unit types that have a higher op tempo. There's other unit types that have that slower mission set. It just kind of depends, but I can't predict the future. I don't know if there's going to be a hurricane hit somewhere, if there's going to be wildfires or whatever. But it my biggest thing is I will never tell anybody, no, you will never deploy, because I can't predict the future. However, I can't guarantee if you're going to or not. And then you do have those people that will volunteer. If you have a unit going pushing out for a mission and they're like, hey, I want to go with them also, there's a form they can fill out and volunteer to go with them also. Which helps, because then you might have people that are going to college or have some family stuff, so they can't go, and it helps fill those spots too.
Hmm. I never knew that. I never knew that. I just assumed, like, we get the press releases and it's this, you know, members. The other thing it said is it's just to select members. How do they decide? Do you know how they decide which members of a unit? Is it just, again, based on the skill for where they're going?
It's based on the skill set. Mm-hmm. It's based on what job they have and everything like that. So, for example, they're not going to say, all right, hey, we need aviation assets. They're not going to pull wheeled vehicle mechanics. They're going to, all right, hey, we need some pilots, we need some mechanics and stuff like that. So it depends on what they're actually doing.
They won't be calling any radio DJs for something like that, I can guarantee you. I don't think they'll be calling you and I for anything.
No.
What kind of
My phone is pretty much ring-free.
From the Ohio National Guard.
From everybody.
Is it the parents, Sergeant, that are the most that are really, you know, asking those questions about that? Because I know as a parent, I mean, if your kids are going to join, God bless them, go do it. But the parents, I would have to imagine, be the ones like, hey, I want to know.
Yes, I see that more. When I'm sitting down and talking to these students or these even, I mean, 18, 19, 20 years old, I still call them kids because I'm in my 40s. But I have those kids I'm talking to, and even if they're high school grad, I'm like, all right, hey, let's sit down and have that conversation with your parents also or your significant other, because they're thinking, all right, hey, what are you going to give me benefits wise? What are you going to give me for college and all those things? And then, all right, hey, let's have that conversation with your parents. And then their parents are asking the different set of questions. And it's usually, hey, what about deployments? What about units and stuff like that? It's a lot of times it's the parents, because the kids aren't thinking that. They're not thinking long term. It's the parents that are asking that.
Let me see. Kids aren't thinking long term. Go ahead. I got that one. I got no problem with the two I had. But you guys, there are plenty of programs out there to help the families if somebody gets deployed. You don't just say, hey, your kids are getting deployed, sorry for your luck. I mean, there's a lot of things that you folks do that will be there to help families, correct? Especially spouses.
Yes, yes. We have what's called like a family readiness group, and it's ran by the unit, and they'll do different like outreach things or communication and stuff like that. And then you have Military One Source, and then the Ohio National Guard has other programs too that will help as far as like communication and events. There's some events they do a couple times a year where it's, if your child is a dependent of a military member, they'll go and do event like, all right, we're gonna go camping up in Camp Perry or someplace for a few days. Or they might do events where it's retreats through like the Chaplains Association, and they'll do like retreats down at like Great Wolf Lodge and stuff like that. So they do a lot of different events like that too, to help keep the families engaged. And also the when they come home, reunite them and stuff like that, they have different events too to help with that.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. I mean, you would think that reunification wouldn't be so bad, but for a lot of them, I mean, it does take a little desensitization, correct? To tell you, just kind of take it easy. We're going to get you back to your normal life, because it can't be that easy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you got to figure, if you're gone for 6, 8 months, 10 months, however long it is, and you have a spouse and kids, they're used to doing it by themselves. So then when they get back, you have to kind of readjust, because you have your routine of, hey, I'm used to doing everything by myself for the last however many months I was gone. And you got to come back, and it's like a readapted. Mm-hmm. And you have to reunite, re-get those things back in order, all your schedule. And then also on top of that, you have to go back to work. So then it's all reintegrating back into your job at the same time.
How does that work? If you're, you know, if they called and said, okay, you got to go, do they get a certain stipend for when they get called up? I mean, you know, if you're a wife and all of a, or a husband, and all of a sudden your spouse is gone, I mean, financially, that would be a big worry for me.
That depends on your employer. Okay. Some employers will give you a certain percentage of your pay. It just kind of depends. With the USARAC, though, they're have to keep their job, though. They can't go and fire
right.
them. They're going to military leave and stuff like that. But it depends upon your employer. If you're getting, whether it's a stipend or additional pay in the benefits, it just, McDonald's probably is not going to do it, right? But some of these bigger jobs, especially if they're like union jobs, they might be, hey, we're going to keep your insurance going. We're going to keep your benefits going. We'll pay you. So for me, when I was on military leave from ODOT, I got 120 hours military leave a year, and I would take like 10 hours of pay period. And what that would do is that would offset, so I kept my insurance going mm-hmm. and kept my union dues going, so I still had those benefits on top of my TRICARE.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. All right, let's talk a little bit about some of the great benefits that are available. I mean, you were talking about pay for kids who are in high school doing the programs and that. I mean, it's out there if they're wanting to do it, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have lots of benefits. people, when they think of the National Guard, they think, all right, hey, going to basic training, Army and stuff like that, but they don't see the benefits on the other side. When I joined military active duty back in 2003, I didn't know about the National Guard. If I could do it again, I would have went National Guard, went to ROTC, got my degree, and then became an officer. But with our scholarship, that's a big thing that a lot of people aren't aware of. Right now, all these kids are applying for colleges. They're getting their acceptance letters to colleges. They're looking at how much that college is going to cost and like, how am I going to pay that? All right, you look at the student loans, but look how long you're going to pay on those student loans and how much interest you're paying also, right? Versus we have that scholarship where we'll pay that tuition 100% to any public school in Ohio. Or if you're like, hey, I'm a kid, I don't want to go to college. Not a problem. Those adult ed programs they teach at like CTEC and Mideast and all those different career centers, we cover those also. So it's one of those where you got to plan for the future. Yeah, you might be a senior in school right now. You might be a junior in school right now, but you got to figure out what's my plan in 5 years? What's my plan in 10 years? What am I doing now to get me to those? You can't look at, all right, hey, my goal right now is just to graduate and then I'm going to wing it. Get a lot of kids that do that. And they're still 5 years later living in their parents' basement. Right?
Winging it.
Winging it, right? So, but I mean, that's one of our big things. And then when you're going to college, how am I going to afford to live? You can do that part-time job, but how many hours can you work? When you're going to college, if you look at national statistics, 20 hours a week max that you can work while you're going to college. Mm. But you're in class 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, 5, 6 o'clock at night. I teach up here at OSU Newark. I see these kids that are there all day. I've seen some of these kids' schedules there all day. I'm like, when are you going to work? I'm going to go to work from 7 o'clock at night to 9 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock at night. You got finals. You got midterms. When are you studying for them? When you're tired? Oh, wait, you got a midterm the next day. You worked until 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock that night. You got to be up at 8 o'clock the next morning to take that midterm. And you're tired, right? I'm going to just do my work on the weekends. Might. But on the weekends, usually it's, hey, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to go party. I'm going to hang out with my friends. I'm going to recover on my sleep I lost, right? So those are things you have to think about. With us, we'll give you money while you're going so you don't have to have that part-time job if you don't. You get $493 from the GI Bill. That's just from joining the military, right? We're paying your tuition 100%. You drill with us 39 days a year, 1 week in a month, starting out $120 a day. You work for us for 2 days. $120, about $220 for that weekend, right? That's starting out. Once you get farther on, you're making even more money. And then if you get above a 50 on the ASVAB, we give an additional $350 tax-free. So you can make $1,100 a month while you're going to college versus working 20 hours a week and you're going to make maybe $900 a month working 20 hours a week.
Yeah.
I mean, plus you got that bill.
And you got that,
that college bill. That should be the focal point for all of it is, I mean, you know, take all that other stuff and that's fine, but paying the tuition and trading out for $39 a year that or 39 days a year, that's pretty strong.
But that's what kids aren't thinking. When I'm in the schools and I'm talking to kids, hey, how are you going to pay for college? My parents are going to pay for it. My parents got it. What they don't know a lot of times, hey, my parents got it. Yeah, your parents might say, hey, we're going to help you with it, but they're taking out loans also, or they're tapping into their savings to pay for that. Ask them, how are you actually paying for it? Are you taking out student loans? Are you taking out savings? Are you putting yourself in debt for me to go to college? Mm-hmm. Or, hey, are you just going to co-sign on my student loans? Those are the things. And then look at, all right, when I graduate, how long are you going to pay on those student loans? The kids need to go and talk to like their teachers. Their teachers have bachelor's degrees. They have master's degrees. There's teachers that are still working 20, 30 years, wish they could retire, but they're still paying on those student loans because they needed to get that master's degree. They needed to get that bachelor's degree.
Oh, yeah. Believe me, I know he's very well aware of that. And then, you know, for others. When you're doing that, I mean, is it, hey, look, you got to graduate in a set amount of years, or is it, if it takes Dave Doney 6 years to graduate, that's fine. No problem whatsoever.
You get the 100% with the 6-year obligation with us. We cover 36 months total. So if it takes you, let's say you're doing 36 months, the 36 months goes under credit hours and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So if it takes you 5 years, it's stretched out over that time, right? Yeah. It's just depends on you. I mean, I've been going to college for 20 years now. I still don't have my degree. Because you have your federal tuition assistance, which is the $4,500 that you can use also, right? And then you have the National Guard scholarship. So you can be like, all right, hey, I got my bachelor's degree, or hey, I've used all the ONGSP and I still need a couple more classes, or let me go use my federal tuition assistance to go and pay for those last couple classes. If it takes you 3 years, it takes you 3 years. If it takes you 5 years, it takes you 5 years. As long as you're still in, you're going to get that scholarship. And then the flip side of that is, all right, hey, I'm graduating high school, I'm going to college. All right, I got these student loans. You get a semester or two in, you're like, nope, college is my thing. I'm dropping out. I'm not finishing. What happens to those student loans?
Yeah.
You still got to pay them back, right? So whether you graduated college or not, you're still paying those back. And like, all right, I'm not doing that. All right, I'm going to go work at one of these minimum wage jobs. All right. Uncle Sam's coming in 6 months. Start knocking. Hey, I want some money back. Yeah. Right. So those are the things that kids have to start thinking about when they're planning on upon graduation. And it's prime time right now for them seniors.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more Talk of the Town on Buckeye Country 107.7 Newark Heath. Hey there, folks. Dave Doney here.
And Joel Riley.
We're your hosts for Talk of the Town, your go-to podcast for everything happening in our local community.
That's right, Dave. We dish out the latest on events, interview local leaders, and we sprinkle in a little fun.
More than a little fun. So whether you're a longtime resident or just passing through, join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for a good time and the inside scoop on all things local.
Yeah, don't miss out. Hit that subscribe button now and never miss an episode on your favorite podcast platform.
Or visit our website at WNKO.com to stay in the loop. And if there's a guest, event, or topic you think we should be talking about, send us an email to news@WNKO.com.
I love it. Tune in and be a part of the conversation.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 94.3, Western Licking County. Dave Doney, Joel Riley, and our special guest today, Ohio Army National Guard Sergeant First Class Jeremiah Hogan. Cloudy skies and snow throughout the day. Pretty cold. Temperature going to fall through the day down to about 12. And then tonight, really cold, low near 5. And then for Tuesday, sunny with a high near 19. And we were talking off the air, Sergeant, you know, you're going to talk to students at some of the schools. And that kind of... That connection with the schools and making sure that things are done the right way has really helped you, because folks know now, hey, this is a guy we can trust. He can talk to our kids. Let's bring him in. I mean, kudos to you, because that's not the easiest thing to do in the world.
Oh, it takes time. I mean, you get some schools have a bad reputation with recruiters. Some recruiters get a bad reputation, so they don't have that good working relationship. So it's building the relationships, building the connections, and understanding, all right, who do you need to talk to? And then understanding, all right, hey, respecting, I'm going to come at this time, right? First couple weeks of school, after spring break, after winter break, or first couple weeks of school, I don't mess with the schools. They're all guidance, and all of them are trying to get all the classes scheduled straight, everything like that. So understanding that, so instead of me going in there, hey, that first week of school, hey, I need to go set up lunchrooms right now. I need to go set up a classroom present. Giving them a couple weeks to settle in, and just having that respect and having that understanding, all right, hey, you guys have stuff to do, and it just builds that rapport with them a lot more.
Well, and timing, you know, being the point where people are starting to make decisions about their future, college, trade school, whatever, now is the perfect time.
Oh, definitely. They started applying, started doing all the FAFSA stuff in December, right? And now is when they're starting to get those acceptance letters from the colleges. Mm-hmm. And this is where they're, all right, this is the acceptance letter. All right, here's the price tag that goes with that. And they're starting to get that sticker shock, right? Hey, my goal is I want to go to University of Cincinnati. Okay, you go to University of Cincinnati, it's one of the most expensive public schools in the state, right? And then it's that sticker shock. Well, I can't afford that. Hey, I want to go to OSU and I want to go to Columbus campus. Okay, sticker shock. Why not go to that OSU Newark campus, right? It's a lot cheaper. You don't have to live on campus. There's a lot more benefits with that too. And that's where you get these kids that have that mindset. Hey, I want to go to this college, right? I got accepted to this college, I'm going to this college. And then they realize how much it actually costs, because they're thinking right now, they're just looking at tuition, right? Mm-hmm. They're not considering, well, what about room and board? That might be rolled into that. All right, you got the room and board. All right, now what about your books? What about your computer programs that you need? What about all your supplies, your food, and all those things that they're not thinking about right now? And that's where that sticker shock starts coming in. They're starting to think like, oh, I was going to go to college, I can't afford it now. Okay. You get a lot of kids, majority of the people that drop out of college is usually in the first two semesters in that freshman year. A major reason that they usually drop out you'll get the excuse, oh, it wasn't for me. I didn't like school. Majority of the time, though, that's the excuses they're making to go and mentally help them, right? Majority of the time, it's because they financially cannot afford to go to college. They realize, I cannot work that 30, 40-hour week and do college at the same time. Either work's got to start slipping up and they're going to get paid less, or classes are going to start slipping up and your grades are going to start slipping, right? And that's when most people drop out, is they realize that. Not for me, because I cannot afford to do both at the same time.
You know, you were talking about you're going to be meeting with a girl tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You were talking about in the break, a young lady out of Southwest Licking. Are you seeing more females saying, hey, this could be a track for me?
I've actually, over the last couple of years, I've enlisted more females than I have males. And I see they have more drive. They're usually looking more future. All right, this is what my goal is in 5-10 years versus the males. A lot of the males are more, hey, this is what I'm doing now. This is what I'm doing graduating high school, and they're not looking 5 years from now, 10 years from now. You see that a lot more at like the career schools, because they have that mindset of what they're wanting to do. But they're, what's the career progression look like? All right, if you're in a skilled trades, okay, a lot of times, all right, you're going right into the workforce. But what if you're in one of those more technical programs? Yeah, you might be able to go right into the workforce, but you're going to have some college or some type of additional training. And a lot of the males are just looking right now, right? The females you see more looking long-term.
Mm-hmm. The ROTC program over at OSU Newark, you said you just took over a semester ago. How's that going?
It's actually going really good. It's great. It's for the freshmen that are going to OSU Newark that want to try out the ROTC program. It's a great opportunity to say, hey, I want to do ROTC. I want to see if I like it. There's no obligation as a freshman doing it, but it's a great way to find out. And then once they go into the sophomore year, they can be like, all right, I want to go and contract into the ROTC program, make it official. Or they can do it and say, you know, I don't want a contract. I just want to continue it. They graduate with a minor in military science. And it, for the Newark campus, it is PT one day a week, and we have class one day a week, and it's like an hour-long class, and it's all basic entry-level type of stuff. But it's a great program, and it's a great way for them to get an understanding, so when they want to go to Columbus campus and say, hey, yeah, I want to do this full-time, and there's a lot of additional benefits that come with it, too. Mm-hmm.
What does the PT entail?
For us, our PT is simple because I only have about 4 or 5 people, so we don't do like a huge PT formation and everything. We just go to the gym for an hour.
Okay.
Columbus campus, they do PT 3 days a week. So once they become a sophomore or an MS2, that's when they're doing PT in Columbus. They do PT 3 days a week, and it's organized PT and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
Just like you see with the military formation and all that stuff. They make it fun, though. It's not always all just pain and everything.
Are you
like
saying
that.
You don't make it fun?
See, we do a little bit different. We don't do the formations and stuff like that. But PT for us is 1 day a week. Now, if they want to go to Columbus, they can go participate in PT in Columbus.
Oh, that's cool.
And then they do a lab in Columbus at Columbus campus 1 day a week also. So on Tuesday mornings, they do their lab. And their labs cover what essentially we covered the week before in class. That didactic portion that we covered, the next week is when they're doing the lab more the hands-on training for it. So
very cool.
But the great thing is it's one of those, hey, I want to try out that military science program. And yes, I like it, or no, I don't like it. There's no obligation with that, right? It's just an additional class added to your schedule.
What does that do for you if you go through the program then and then you get into the military? Does that help you with your rank right away? I mean, do you have to let folks know, hey, this is kind of one of those benefits when you're through if you decide to continue on?
So with the ROTC program, when you do the freshman year, you don't have to contract.
Right.
Once you go sophomore, if you want to do the military thing, once you go contract into the program as a sophomore, that's when you do your MS2, your MS3, your MS4. And when you graduate, you either do 6 years as a second lieutenant, starting out as a second lieutenant commission, 6 years with the Guard or Reserve, or 3 years active duty in one of the different officer branches, whether it's artillery, medical. I mean, there's a bunch of different branches.
And when you say MS, what are we talking about?
Military science.
Okay.
Yeah, so your military science levels, you have military science 1, which is your entry level. Military science 2 is your sophomores. Military science 3 is your juniors. And military science 4 is your seniors.
Okay.
So.
See, that's a dumb guy like me. He's got to ask you what is that. I'm like, what? MS.
That's a problem with military people is we have so many acronyms and we just use the acronyms and you get these people that don't know the military lingo looking at you like, what do you mean? So, my wife does it to me too. So.
She's doing that to you for a whole other reasons there, big guy. I'll tell you right now. All right, Sergeant, real quick, if folks want information on anything you talk, well, how do they get a hold of you? What do they need to do?
So my office is in Hopewell Hall North, room 101. They can either stop by. I'm there usually on Wednesdays and then off and on throughout the week, or they can call or text me at 740-602-0577.
Thank you so much. Thank you for all you do, all your service to the country. It's amazing that some of these kids now are really, I think, and again, just from the outside looking, I've got friends whose kids are gone. It just seems like more and more kids are saying, hey, wait a minute. This may be the avenue for me, and nothing wrong with that.
Numbers have been up across the board.
Very good.
I mean, we're actually, numbers are looking really good this year.
Good. Well, again, I appreciate all that you do. That's Ohio Army National Guard Sergeant First Class Jeremiah Hogan. Be sure to join us on Wednesday's Talk of the Town. Jennifer McDonald, President, CEO, Licking County Chamber of Commerce, will be in. She'll be talking about the Groundhog Breakfast that's coming up, plus all things that are happening economic development-wise here in Licking County. That's on Wednesday's Talk of the Town.